This is Matt. I'm the lead pastor at Westminster Baptist Church. Thanks for engaging God's word with us. My prayer for you is that this would be supplemental to your discipleship journey. If we can connect you with a local church or discipleship group, please contact us at info@discoverwbc.com.
Do you have discipline in your life to accomplish what you want to accomplish? Do you have discipline in your life to accomplish what you want to accomplish? Now, the truth is, most of us probably have discipline in at least some areas of our life. You have discipline to wake up because you're here. Some of you probably little victories, baby. You have discipline in your life to keep a job because a lot of you have a job in here. You have discipline to keep a relationship because a lot of you have relationships in here. So you have discipline in certain areas of your life, and you know discipline can be positive and negative. It can be because you've done something wrong, or it can be so that you don't do something wrong. We discipline ourselves to not mess up at work, but if we mess up at work, we could be disciplined. Discipline is to prepare us not to do something wrong, but discipline is also because we have done something wrong. Do you have discipline in your life? And what areas do you have discipline in your life? I'm going to argue today from Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 12. I'm going to argue today that discipline in the spiritual life will affect every other area of your life. But when we don't have discipline in our spiritual life, it will affect every other area of your life. And it's hard to have integrity throughout our life if we don't have discipline in our spiritual life. Now, the way that we're going to do this is we're going to have to show that in Scripture, Christ's victory, his endurance on the cross, comes with discipline and training so that we can take the cross. We're going to show from Scripture that if you're going to complete a marathon, you've got to train for it. That's the example the author in Hebrews is giving. We're going to be those who can run the race. We're going to be those who have a great cloud of witnesses. That's the stands are going to be full while we're running. We're going to be those who don't trip up. But we're going to do all that because we've trained, not just because we tried. So I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 13 with you this morning. So if you will, we're just going to walk through it. I'm going to stop at a couple different places. Verse 3, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." Now stop there. It says, "For consider him," which takes us back to last week, which says keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know from Scripture, fixing our eyes on him who is seated at the right hand of God, right? We're going to constantly be looking ahead in the race at Jesus and what he has done. So what did he do? "For consider him who endured such hostility." Now, this hostility didn't just come from one side. It came from the world, Greco-Roman world, and from the religious, from the chiefs, chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. So Jesus was getting it from all angles, hostility coming at him, yet he endured. How do you endure? How do you have such strength to be able to do this? Because he was trained. He was disciplined. Luke chapter 2 says that he grew in wisdom and stature. Throughout his life, the Spirit was leading him into testing, and he was approved. In the garden, he's weeping and crying, "Father, what is your will? Your will be done, not mine." And he goes and does the will of the Father. There was training, there was discipline, there was path, there was the will, there was understanding, there was contentment. There was all of these things in the line, in the journey towards the cross. It wasn't just Jesus was like, "I'll try to fix this thing for these people who are screwing up on earth." No, there was a plan. There was a path. There was a lot of victories. There was a lot of discipline. In your life, you're going to face many trials. And as you face these trials, I want you to look at verse 3 where it says, "Such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up." Let me ask you a question. Moms, dads, discipline, does it make you tired? You got to wake up early just to have a cup of coffee without some screaming kids around you, right? Then you go to work. And you're already tired and your coworker's making fun of you. Or your coworker did something that you didn't like for them to do, or they messed something up on the program. All these things happen. Then you come back from work and you still got kids screaming and crying. Your husband or your wife is not exactly on their sharpest They're not exactly being their nicest to you. Something's going on, and you're just like, what do we do at the end of the day, man? Just tired. You know what I'm saying? What is discipline meant for? What is this endurance meant for? What is this suffering meant for? It says, so that you won't grow weary and give up. The more we train, the less tired we get. The more we're prepared, the less tired we're going to get. I can give you an example of this specifically from this passage where it says we are going to endure because we've laid aside these hindrances. We're running this race. As you run the race, you get exhausted. You're going to get tired of trying to run a marathon. But if you've trained well, you're not going to get as tired as you would have if you hadn't trained. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So now I'm looking at it differently. I'm going, okay, my dad, if I'm going to live my life with integrity, if I'm going to love my wife, and if I'm going to love my children, if I'm going to raise them up in the way that I'm supposed to raise them up, I can't be tired all the time. I've got to train myself. I've got to be prepared for the difficult moments. I can't be surprised when my kids do something crazy. I can't be surprised when I come home and they're not in the best mood. I can't be surprised when I go to work and something happens. I can't be surprised. I need to be trained. I need to be ready. I need to be expectant that the one who's trying to rob me and kill me and destroy me, I need to be expecting that he's going to fight me, and I need to be ready to fight him. I'm ready for the battle because I've been training. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to grow weary and give up because we've been training. So we consider him who endured. I want to be like Jesus. I want to endure like him. I want to be strong like him. I want to be victorious like him. So look at verse 4. It says, in struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Here's what that means. You're not dead yet. Like this, bluntly to say that, you're not dead yet. You followed Christ. You've done what he's called you to do, but you're not dead because of following him. Here's the difference. Jesus won. He was victorious over sin, yet he died. And I want you to see that because it's an important point in our Christian life. If God calls us to the point of death, we don't need to see that as a loss, but as a victory. Why? Because we're trying to be victorious over sin. We're trying to be victorious over sin. So what if God calls us to a place where there might be a potential of death? What if God calls you to put to death things in your life that you love? You're like, I might as well be dead because I don't like living without this. I don't want to live life without this, Matt. And so you're putting things to death, as it says in Colossians, put to death the sin that reigns in your heart. Like we're putting these things to death and we're going, this feels like death. But this passage is saying this, you're struggling against sin, but you're fighting. You're not dead. Keep fighting. Don't grow weary. As we said last week, don't grow weary. Keep going on. But look, you're not going to stop. You're not going to overcome this weariness. You're not going to overcome being tired. You're not going to overcome the defeat feeling, that the struggling feeling, unless we train. So Jesus struggled against sin, but he was victorious, and yet he also died. What is your cross? What is your path? And are you training for it? Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. And this is a quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? Now, there's two different ways to discipline, right? We've already talked about this. The one is because you did something wrong. The other is so that you don't do something wrong. In this particular instance, we have both of those displayed in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. But specifically in this one, it says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he punishes every son he receives. So that what Hebrews is pulling out is the discipline he loves. It's going to focus in on that. God is disciplining those whom he loves. He's dealing with them as sons. So verse 7 is hard because it says endure suffering is discipline. That does not seem like the object of most Americans. Let's start there. The object of most Americans, we wouldn't say, hey, let's just endure suffering. Like, let's go out there and let's endure some suffering. But the reality is I believe that we actually do that. We don't like to say that we do it, but we do it. Let me give you some examples of how we actually endure suffering. These are examples of actual suffering on earth that we would all go, yeah, we did that. All right. So if you went to school There was a point probably where your teacher said, hey, you need to memorize these facts, you need to know these things, so you're going to have a test tomorrow. And if you're like me, you stayed up all night, you went to Waho at like 2 a.m., that's Waffle House in the South. You went to Waffle House, you grabbed some pancakes and bacon, got really tired, but stayed up because you had enough coffee or energy drinks, and you thought you were suffering, right? Like, man, this is really hard. This is really difficult. What we'll do is we will suffer for what we want to win at. Now, another example, maybe later on in your life, you are working at a job and your boss comes to you and he's like, man, you're underperforming and you need to step it up in these areas. And you really want the job. And so you're like, man, I'm going to stay late. I'm going to train at home. I'm not going to give up this job. And so you start staying up later. You get a little bit more tired. You are willing to suffer. You're willing to give up something like sleep that is good. Suffer so that you can get victory for something else. Because we're willing to suffer for things. Athletes. There's some athletes in this room. There are some really strong guys in this room that I know. And women in this room that I know. And the only way you get strong is by breaking down muscle. Tearing those fibers and letting them be restored. You push your lungs to the max so that you can run further. You push your muscles to the max so you'll be stronger so that you accomplish what? Victory in your athletic event. We will suffer so that we can be victorious. But when we talk about it with athletics and with occupation and with relationships, we don't often go, yeah, I'm suffering. But the truth is, that's what we do. We are willing to suffer as long as we can be victorious. And then when we talk about in the spiritual world, we got to bring it into that world because suffering is discipline. You see, verse 7 wants us to endure suffering so that it will discipline us, so that we will be prepared for difficult things in our life. God is dealing with you as sons. And so now what I hope we can do as brothers and sisters in Christ, what I hope we can do is we can flip thinking about suffering as something that is not good for us to something that is good for us. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. I don't have time to preach on this, so I always try to give this quickly, and that is, if God is calling you into a place of suffering, stay there, fight through, don't back down. If God is not calling you to in this place of suffering, and you are enduring abuse, neglect, you're hurting, you're not able to defend yourself in all those different situations, God has not called you into that, get out. Don't stay there. This is what Jesus did in the garden. If it's your will, I will do it. If it's not your will, I'm not going to do this. Brothers and sisters, your God is a God of mercy, kindness, goodness. He wants what is good for you, but he is also a God of justice and wrath. He is a warrior king who can defend his people. And he defends the fatherless. He defends those who cannot defend themselves. So if you're in a place where you feel like you're not able to defend yourself, and you're in a place of abuse, neglect, or persecution, suffering, that's not what God's called you into, get out of there. Seek help. Find someone in a professional environment. Let us connect you with someone. Contact the authorities immediately, go to a hospital and get help. But if you're where God has you, endure suffering for discipline. Verse 7, because he's dealing with you as a son. For Jesus, that was the cross. It was death. For you, it might not be. Whatever it is for you, endure it as discipline. Last week, I told you not to back down, but the only way we're not going to back down is if we are trained. Because it continues with verse 8, but if you are without discipline, which I'll receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Back in Jesus' time, fathers would have illegitimate and legitimate sons. And if they had illegitimate son, they would not give them education, they would not train them up, and they would not discipline them. But for what they would consider as legitimate children, they would give them education. They would pay for their education. They would train them up in the way of the family. They would protect them and take care of them, and they would discipline them. What this passage is saying is God calls you children. You are sons and daughters of God when you are being disciplined. If you're not being disciplined, then you probably have a God that doesn't care about you. Let me put it this way. If you have children as parents, you have children and you don't discipline them, you're not preparing them for their future. You're not strengthening them. If you're a boss and you're not giving your employees what they need to be able to accomplish what they've got to accomplish, you're not taking care of your employees. If you're a coach and you're not training your athlete how to properly block or properly run, then you're not preparing them to succeed. You're preparing them to get injured. And if you have a God who does not care enough about you to prepare you for the battle that you're facing with Satan, then he probably doesn't actually love you. But your God loves you, and he disciplines you to prepare you for the battle that you face. Knowing that we are children of God because of discipline. Knowing that he loves us because of discipline. Verse 9, furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we see two things that this blesses us with. Discipline in Christ blesses us with the holiness from the Father and the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I challenge you to do this. Talk to someone who's lived more years than you in life, who you consider to be wise, and I want you to ask them this. Is it better to be a man or a woman of integrity, or is it better to have things? Is it better to be a man or a woman of integrity, or is it better simply just to have a lot of things in this world? And if the answer is to be a man or woman of integrity, then what are you doing to train to be that? And a lot of Christians, what they want to do is they want to go, well, okay, I know these two things. I know heaven is coming because I'm going to be forgiven by Jesus' blood. And I know that now the Spirit will work in me to accomplish things I couldn't accomplish. Those two things are true. And you hear me say them often. But how is the Spirit making you victorious? Last week, we talked a little bit about that you were victorious. This week, we're talking about how the Spirit makes you victorious. Everybody wants to run a marathon. Everybody wants to be the best athlete. You want to be the best at your job. You want to be the best husband, best wife, best dad, best mom. But are you trying, or are you training? Do you just say, I just want to be the best? Do you tell your boss, I'm going to be the best employee you ever had? Or do you train for it? You've got to train. Well, then we can't wake up one day and be like, man, I'm a man of integrity. I am a woman of integrity. No, we train for this, and the Spirit is training you for it. I want to show you in Scripture that God is not just going, bam, you're forgiven, have fun with life. No, he says to the Cretans, you're lazy and you're gluttons. We're not going to be lazy gluttons. We're a church that's going to rise up and be victorious over sin, Satan, and death. If we're going to do that, we better be trained. God's not calling you to the front lines with a sword and being like, hey, hope it goes well for you. He's training you and preparing you to battle with a sword. Your sword is the Word of God. So now we're going to train in the Word of God. I'm ready to battle because God has trained me. The Spirit's not just going to leave you to fight without training. So what's your training look like? I'm interested. I'm going to give you three practical tips from this passage. But before we do, I want to show you just one more portion of this passage. It says in verses 12 and 13, therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. This is really an illustration for where we started. Y'all remember the first verse 3? Jesus, we're going to consider him, and we're not going to grow weary. Remember, we're not going to grow tired. And now this verse says, strengthen your tired hands. Make straight paths for your feet. I know the will of the Father, so that's where I'm going. My hands are strong. My knees are strong. My feet are ready. We're going to run this race. Here's what a lot of Christians want to do here, though. We use forgiveness as a crutch. We use forgiveness as a wheelchair almost. We're like, man, this life is difficult. Give me some crutches and I'm just going to limp my way through this life. I'm just going to get through this thing with some crutches on rather than strengthening. I don't actually want to run, Matt. I just want somebody to push me through this life. I just want somebody to kind of like Jesus is just going to kind of like, you're forgiven. Like pop you to eternity. We got to live a life here. And he's not finished with you. He's not done with you. He's training you. He's equipping you to do this. What does your training look like? Spiritually speaking, I'm going to have strong knees. Spiritually speaking, I'm strong feet. I'm going to be able to run. What does that look like for you? A really piercing question is this. Do I train harder occupationally, relationally, sexually, physically, or do I train harder spiritually? Because what does 2 Timothy tell us? It says, man, it's good to train physically, but it's better to train spiritually. You want to train? Train for godliness. And Paul's telling Timothy, he's not saying don't train physically. What he's saying is make sure that you train spiritually. And that spiritual training is going to impact every area of your life. Because when you're trained spiritually, the way you relate is going to be better with your spouse. When you train spiritually, the way that you work at your job is not going to be for just money. It's going to be for the glory of God. When you train spiritually, it's going to impact your sexual life. When you train spiritually, it's going to impact your physical life. Training spiritually impacts every single area of your life. And so I want you to be equipped to be able to train. Next week, we're going to talk just about training. We're going to look at Hebrews and we're going to walk through it and see different places where it shows us how to train for the battle that we face. So men of integrity, women of integrity that want to train, come next week and I'm going to hopefully inspire you, encourage you, but also equip you to be able to train yourself through the power of the Spirit for the battle that you face. Now, as you go through this passage, you might be thinking, how do we know this isn't talking about punishment, Matt? How do we know it's not actually talking about, like, this kind of discipline that God gives us is punishment for sin? Well, I want to encourage you to look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, where it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Do you think rebuking or training is the same Greek word that is used in Hebrews 12 as discipline? Rebuking or training? It's training. It's not rebuking. And another example of this would be from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Where it says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It says, don't stir up anger in your children. So this is not a moment of wrath. This is not trying to make your children angry. This is training them. This is that instruction for them. So you're guiding them. God is training you and instructing you and guiding you. This is a moment of punishment. It's a moment of preparation. Have you ever thought that, like, the only thing God's doing is when you screw up, he's like, gotcha. You better ask for forgiveness. Have you ever felt that way with Christianity? I know some people do. Some people won't even walk into church because they feel that way. If you've ever felt that way, I hope that today will show you it's really quite the opposite. God's not looking at you and going, man, you screwed up. Ha, punishment. He's looking at you and going, man, here's forgiveness. Now let me train you. And along the way, of course, if we make mistakes, there's punishment. But what father doesn't do that for his kids? I would want that. I want to be better. God made me better. I want to train. Train me, Father. I want to be encouraged. Spirit, equip me. So I'm training. So I want to give you three practical tips. You've heard me say this before. I'm not taking crutches. I'm training. So here's three practical tips. First, train, don't try. Probably get some laughs out of my guys down here because they hear me say this all the time. But spiritually speaking, train, don't try. Here's what that means. And I know some of you have heard me talk about this before, but if you're going to run a marathon, you don't just go out there and try to, right? Nobody goes out there and is like, I'm going to try to run this marathon. They have to train for it, right? You have to train for everything great that you're going to accomplish in life. But how many times in church have you heard somebody say something like this? I just need to try to be a better person, right? Or I just need to try to read the Bible more. Or I got to try to be a better dad. I got to try to be a better mom. Matt, I want to try to control my finances better. I really need to try to control my tongue better. The way I speak, I got to try to be better. Y'all, you can try all day long, but if you don't train, you're not going to be doing anything. And you may say, well, Matt, but you don't understand. The Spirit can do that in your life. And I would say 100% the Spirit can do that in your life. The way the Spirit has chosen to do it in your life is through discipline, though. He's chosen to do it through discipline. So people ask me all the time, how is the Spirit going to do it in you? Because he's going to discipline you day after day, meditating, solitude, simplicity, waking up early, be with the Lord, praising God throughout the day, giving thanks for the good things, praying for the hard things. This is what I'm going to do all day long. Like, I'm training, not trying. So I'm not going to try to be a better dad. I'm going to train to be a better dad in the power of the Spirit for the victory that gives God the glory. I'm training. Now, with trained on trial, I also know this: suffering is training. That's my second practical tip for you. Suffering isn't training. Embrace that suffering. Every good coach knows, every great boss knows, every good trainer knows, every good parent knows that it takes difficult things to build endurance. You've got to go through the hard suffering to get to the victory, to get to the endurance. You want to raise up strong children, you take them through difficult things and you give them strength through it. If God wants to raise up strong children, he's going to take you through difficult things and give you strength and joy and peace to overcome in the middle of it. When it's in his will and not when it's in your will. Thy will be done on earth, not mine. So suffering is training. We're going to go through suffering on earth, but we're going to build confidence going through suffering, not in ourselves, but in the Father. We're going to overcome. We're going to build up what we need in that faith and hope so that we know I can overcome this, not by my strength, but by God's strength. So the next thing I face, I'm going to overcome that too. Not by my strength, but by God's strength. And the next thing I face, I'm going to overcome that too. Not by my strength, but God's strength. So now I'm not building up anxiety because I'm ready. I'm not scared of what's coming because I'm ready. I'm trained. And the third practical thing I want to give you is this: victory comes through training. From this passage, victory comes through training. You see Jesus being victorious to the cross, and we think, I don't know if you ever thought that, but like you think, well, okay, it's Jesus. So of course he just did it. But if it was just easy for him, you think he'd be weeping in the garden? No, Jesus, as I told you last week, Jesus was like strong. Don't think of Jesus as some wimp on a cross. Jesus was God of the universe on the cross. Strong enough to stay up there for you, not weak enough to get down. Training, not trying. Disciplined, not giving up. My God, my Savior, Jesus, was strong, and you follow him. So I know the victory comes through training. So I hope today you won't grab your crutches of forgiveness, but you will grab the power of the sword and you'll go fight some battles. And when you fail, forgiveness is there because you have a God that loves you. But when you face another battle, don't give up. Don't back down because you've been trained. Here's your gospel response. As the band comes forward, embrace family. First, embrace family. I mean, this is family. These are your brothers and sisters. The Father sees y'all and it's like, hey, we're going to discipline them. Like the Trinity is disciplining us. We are in the process of being made into the image of Jesus Christ as one body, brothers and sisters together. So we embrace family to go, hey, how are you? What you suffering with? What you enduring? What's the discipline look like right now? Like being intimately aware of what God is doing in each other's lives so that we don't give up and back down. We're embracing family as brothers and sisters to keep fighting. But brothers and sisters train together. So my second point for you, this is train together. I don't have time today, but I did, and I don't really want to show you pictures, but I did have a lot of pictures of training with my guys on there because I just want to show you practical examples, which is hilarious because Steven, one of the pictures is me and you, and it's just snowing. Like the ground is covered in snow and we're running miles in snow. And you're like, what are you doing? That's what training takes, right? When it's cold outside and there's snow on the ground, you're still raining because you're still running because we're training, not trying, right? And it's because we're training with family. A lot of times if you're alone, you don't want to go out there and train. You don't want to go fight a battle. But when you got brothers and sisters around you, man, there's something about it that's like, I can do this. Let's go. I'll knock down a brick wall with this guy. You know what I'm saying? We want to inspire each other to be better. It's amazing what you can do with family. And it's amazing God has brought you guys together to be family. What could y'all do as a family? What could we do, WBC, as a family? Train together for whatever we want to do. And let's go do it. Every battle we face, victorious because our family's together. And third, would you encourage each other through this suffering? Great cloud of witnesses around us, inspiring us to keep running. The stands are full for you. The stands are full for you. For me right now, I get to hear my daughter. She said dada earlier as I'm up here. That inspires me, man. What's your inspiration? Who's in your stands? Encourage them through the suffering. Every now and then, when it's mile 21 and me and G are starting to slow down a little bit, keep going. Don't give up. Men of integrity, keep training. Women of integrity, keep training. Next week, we're going to talk more about how to train. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to continue worship. God, you are so good. You did not leave us here alone. You gave us the Spirit to equip us and empower us, train us, to discipline us. I pray, Father, this church will have discipline to do what is right, not just to try, but to train. Would you, Father, do in us what we could never do in ourselves, because you've equipped us to do things that we could never have done alone. I pray, Father, that you would raise up brothers and sisters who are training in spiritual life to impact their whole life. So, Father, use us, mold us, change us, transform us, whatever you see fit today, through the power of your Son, who lived the life we couldn't live, died the death we should have died, and raised from the dead so that we can raise from the dead too. Your gospel is good, and we are in desperate need of it. So we thank you, Father. Praise you in your Son's name. Amen.
You have any questions about the sermon or would like to know more about following after Jesus, please contact us, and we would love to talk more about your relationship with Christ and how you can grow in your spiritual journey.